Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Brochos Daf Yud Zayin. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the daf before the shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Following the conclusion of our regular Daf Yomi Gemara shiur, we will offer a supplemental shiur covering the Tosfos of our daf for those who are interested. Today's shiur begins 4 lines from the top at the very end of the line, and we are in the middle of a series which we have marked with double underlines highlighting names and triangles featuring the expression Basar Tzloisei. These are a series of prayers that different Rabbonim would offer after they concluded the Shemona Esrei. So we continue, and we also want to note that we have a little aleph to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. A few lines down, you will notice a squiggle underline expression, Iko Diamri, indicating an alternative version. We often use this squiggle underline to highlight an alternative, and there will be an alternative version by way of names as to who said the following passage. So as far as the structure is concerned, there are going to be 2 versions as to what Rav Alexandri actually said. So now we turn to the Gemara. Rav Alexandri Bosur Tzlosei Omar Hochi. Rav Alexandri, at the conclusion of his Shmoyne Esrei, he said thusly, He wrote some Lufonecha, it should be your will, Hashem Elokeinu, Almighty, Shetamineinu Bekeren Oiro, that you should enable us to stand in a corner of light, the Al Tamidenu Bekeren Chashecha, not in a corner of darkness, Val Yadve Libenu, and our hearts should not mourn or wail, the Al Yeshechu Einenu, nor should our eyesight fail us and become dark. As we have said in the past, many of these passages and prayers have much deeper meaning, but in the context of our Daf Yomi Gemara markings shiur, we're going to be limiting ourselves to the more or less superficial explanation. Ika Diamri, another approach is Ha Rav Hamnuna Matzli Lo. That which we just said was really davened, was prayed in by Rav Hamnuna. Rav Alexandri Bosor Dematzli Omar Hochi, and Rav Alexandri himself, he really said something else, and it's thusly, Ribon Ha'olamim, O Master of the Universe, Galui V'yadua Lefonecha, it is obvious to you, Sheretzoinenu L'asos Ritzoincha, that our true will and desire is to conform to your wishes. Umi Ma'akev, and what is it? What is the mechanism or the entity that prevents us from fulfilling your wish? 1. Sa'or Shibi'isa, literally the sourdough that's in dough that causes it to rise. But the sourdough really is a reference to the Yetzer Hara, the evil inclination. And one might say that the analogy between the Yetzer Hara and the Sa'or Shibi'isa is just like the Sa'or inflates something that really isn't so massive, isn't so large. As we often feature during Pesach, we always note the difference between matzah and chometz. Chometz is in effect inflated dough. It's full of air, if you will, or you may even say full of hot air. And the Yetzer Hara essentially is the same thing, in such that it makes that which is forbidden seem much more than it is, seem much more attractive than it actually is, and causes us to stumble, and in reality it was actually something very small and insufficient and really not so not really fulfilling what one's real desires are. And there's a lot more to elaborate on this, especially in light of the way the Gemara portrays the end of days, where the righteous are revealed, what the Yetzer Hara was really like, as well as the evil. The Rishayim are shown what the Yetzer Hara was like, and the Rishayim are shown that it was really like a little hair that they could have overcome had they only desired. So in short, the Yetzer Hara it tends to inflate and make attractive things that are really much less than they really are. Just like sourdough inflates the dough into something much larger than it actually is in terms of its actual quantity. Continuing in the Tefillah of Rav Alexandri, so he said that what is it that prevents us from fulfilling your rotzon, the yetzara, the shibud malchus, and the oppression of the various exiles in which the Jews find themselves under the thumb of other nations, causing us and forcing us to do things other than your will. Yehi rotzon milfonecha, it should be your desire, it should be your will, shetatzilenu miyodam, that you should save us from their clutches, v'noshuv lasli shukei rutzoynecha b'lev of shalom, and we should return to doing your laws and precepts with a full heart. Rava Basutzlo say Omar Hachi, and Rava, upon concluding his prayer, his davening Shmoneh Esrei, would say as follows. And this prayer might seem rather familiar, as it is something that we many of us add in the davening of the Yomim Noroyim at the conclusion of our Shmoneh Esrei. It just seems that Rava made this a part of his regular Shmoneh Esrei conclusion. So he said thusly, Elokai ad shelo notzati eni kedai. Before I was formed, I wasn't worth forming, wasn't worth coming into existence. V'achshav shenotzati ki'ilu lo notzati. And now that I have been formed, it's as if I'm not here whatsoever. The Rashi says on the third line from the top, V'achshav shenotzati ma chashivusi. What significance do I have? Hare ani ki'ilu lo notzati. I'm as if I'm not here. Continuing, Ofor ani b'chayoi, chal v'chomer b'misasi. In my life, I am no more than dust, and all the more so in my death. Harei ani l'fonecha k'chli molei b'usho chlimo. I am like a vessel full of embarrassment and shame. Yehi rotzon l'fonecha Hashem Elokai. It should be your will, shelo echta'o, that I should not sin any further. Uma shechotosi l'fonecha, and that which I have sinned, baroit b'rachamecha rabim, cleanse with through your great mercy, v'avol lo al yedei yisurim v'chaloyim roim, but not through oppression and suffering and painful ailments. V'hainu vidui de Rav Hanuna Zuti b'yom haKippurim, and this was the vidui, the confessional of Rav Hanuna Zuti on Yom Kippur. As we mentioned before, we too adopt this passage as part of our Yomim Noroim, the high holiday prayer service. Mar brei de Ravina ki have mesayim tzlosei Omar hochi, and Mar Ravina, concluding his Shmoneh Esrei, he would say thusly, Elokai. And this will be, for most of us, the most famous, the most familiar passage of all, because in fact the essence of this passage is that which we say at the conclusion of our Shmoneh Esrei. So he would say, Elokai, Nitzol Shoni Mira, guard my tongue from evil, Visif Soisai, and my lips, Mi Daber Mirma, from speaking that which is false, and unto those that wish to curse me, I should remain silent. And my soul, my being, should be like dust to all. The Tosfos has an interesting observation regarding this, and he says, "V'nafshi kefola kol tiyeh ma ofor eno mekabel kli l'olam." Just like dust is something that remains all times; it's not something that's destroyed; it remains always. Ken yehi rotzoin shezari lo yichle l'olam. So too, my seed should not disappear ever. Shu oimer. Just like it says in the Torah, and that your seed, your offspring, should be like the dust of the dirt of the land, which is, as we can see here, a tremendous blessing. Continuing in the passage in the Gemara, Psachli bi b'sorasev, open my heart to your Torah, v'mitzvasecha tudayif nafshi, and in your mitzvahs I should always be in pursuit. V'tatzileni pegara, and save me from harmful oppression, Umiyetzahara, from the evil inclination, Isha Ra, from a bad woman, a problematic spouse, Umikorois, a Misrakshus Lovo Ba'olam, and from all other evils that enter the world. The Chol HaChoshim Alai Ra, and all those that seek evil concerning me, Meherafat, some quickly undo their wicked counsel, the Kalkimach Shvoisim, and ruin their designs. You wrote Rasonim Reifi Vagyonli Bi Lefonecha Hashem Tsuri Vagali. And the Imrei Fi, my words, my prayers should be L'Ratzon, that should be something that finds grace in your eyes, and that which my heart thinks should be in front of you, in front of you Almighty. Rav Sheshes Ki Have Yosef Betanisa. Now here we have dashed underlined Yosef Betanisa, because this is a slight departure from that which we have been doing till now, but it too is featured with a triangle Boser Dematzli at the end of his davening, but here we're talking about at the end of the Shemone Esrei on a Tainis day, on a fast day. So he would say Vasli, and you can see the content of this passage is quite relevant to a fast day. He would say as follows, Ribonu Olomim, Master of the universe, Galui Lefonecha, it is revealed to you, Bizmashi Bezmashkayim, when the Beis Hamikdash was extant, Odom Chote Umakriv Korban, a person who would sin would then bring a sacrifice, Vein Makriven Mimenu Elochelboi Vedomoi, and the essential part of the sacrifice, we're talking here about a sin offering, a Korban Chatas, would be the offering of its innards, the Chelev, and its blood was sprinkled on the altar, Umiskapilo, and that would afford him atonement, the Achshov Yoshavti Betaisa, now that there's no Beis HaMikdash, I have sat in fasting, Venismait Chelbi Vedomi, and my body fats and blood have become reduced as a result of the fasting. So you have here an actual fat and blood type offering of the person himself. Yirotzum Fenechoshe Chelbi V'Domi, should be your will that my fat and blood, Shnismite, that became reduced as a result of the fasting. Kiwi Kraftiv Lufonecha Gabi Amizbeach Vatirtsemi. Consider it as if it was offered on the altar, and that should be a source of your finding favor in me. We continue with double underlining different Rabbonim, but you'll notice that the triangles are no longer going to appear. There are more passages and prayers that are offered by Rabbonim and sayings, as we will see coming up. In the meantime, Rabbi Yochanan Kavim Esayim Sifra de Iyoiv. Rabbi Yochanan, when he finished learning the Book of Job, Sefer Iyov, and Rashi points out the uniqueness of Sefer Iyov, as many of you may know, Iyov was an individual who went through a great deal of suffering in his life. So Rashi points out, Al Shem Shiyov Niftar B'Shem Tov. This passage is related to the idea, to the fact that Iyov, even though he went through so much suffering, he concluded his life with a good name. In other words, he was able to withstand all the oppression that he went through. Of course, the subject of Iyov is another one of those subjects that's worth looking into at much greater length than we are doing in this context. But Rav Yochanan, when he finished that book, that sefer, Omar Hochi, he would say the following: Soif Adam Lomus V'Soif Behem L'Shchita. The end of man is death. The end of an animal is slaughter. Havakol L'Misahim Om Them. All life is destined to a form of death. Ashrei Mi Shagadol B'Torah V'Amlo B'Torah. Fortunate is the one who developed through the Torah, in a Torah spirit, and his efforts were exerted in Torah, and who provided a source of contentment to his Creator, and grew it with a positive name. And this is what Rashi made mention of with regard to Iyov. He continued his life with a good name and passed away in a good name. Again, Viniftar B'Shem Tov Min Olam, and left this world with a positive name, positive reputation. The Olav Omar Shlomo, regarding him, Shlomo says, Toiv Shem Mishemen Toiv. Better is a positive name than wealth. V'yoyim Hamoves Miyom Hivoldo. And the day of death more than the day of birth. Of course, in the context where one concluded his life in a positive, in a a mitzvah-related fulfilled life, then we can say that the day of death was greater than the day of birth, because at the point of birth, one really isn't sure what path, how a person will develop. This ties in very, very much to the passage found in Maseches Erevin, where Hillel and Beis Shammai discuss the issue of is it beneficial for a person to have been created in the first place or not, and there the conclusion is reached that if you're dealing with a tzaddik, someone who made the maximum benefit of this world, so we can say, like it says over here, that better was his day of death than his day of birth. After all, when he's born, we don't know what path a person is going to take, but if a person passes from the world having fulfilled mitzvahs and maisim tovim, so of course we say that that's a sure bet, and he left this world with a winning jackpot. We continue with a new marking. Of course, the double underlines continue, but we also have diamonds that appear. And on the side, we have under our Nosei Mivne heading, featured a diamond, Sidra, a series featuring Margula Befume. Now, the word Margula, Rashi says, Dover ze rogil befiv, something that they were accustomed to saying, common sayings of the following Rabbonim. So we continue in the Gemara. Margula b'fume de Rabbi Meir. It was customary for Rabbi Meir to say, Gemara b'chol uvavcho v'chol nafshecho, lodas es dorachai, expend all of your heart and soul in trying to discover my ways. Of course, we're echoing the sentiments of the Almighty, that through exertion in Torah study, one can discover the ways of Hashem, v'lishkoid al dalsei torosoi, and to be common, to be a regular at the doors of my Torah, most likely a reference to being a regular in a base medrash, in a study, in a Torah study environment. Netzor torosi b'libcha, v'neged einecho tia yirosi. The Kodesh Baruch Hu is kivyochol saying, guard my Torah in your heart, and in front of your eyes should be my fear. The pasuk says, Shivisi Hashem lenegdi samidov, that I placed the Almighty in front of my eyes at all times. So too, this is being reflected here. Always have HaKadosh Baruch Hu on your mind. Shmor picho mikol chet, guard your mouth from all sin, v'tahir v'kadesh atzmocho mikol ashmo v'ovon, purify yourself and make yourself holy and distant. Holiness is in effect a concept of distance, something that's separated, so that one should separate himself from all sin and iniquity. And if one fulfills this, I will be with you wherever you are. Once again, as that is what the Kodesh Baruch Hu would be saying. Margul b'fumayu de Rabbonan de Yavne, a common saying on the part of the Rabbonan of Yavne, Ani Bria v'chaveri Bria. I am alive. And the Rashi says, Ani ha'oisek b'Torah Briani, I who am preoccupied with Torah study am a creation. And Rashi goes on, V'chein chaverai am ha'oretz, or chaveri am ha'oretz Briahu. And so too my friend who is an ignoramus is a creation. So the Rabbanan of Yavne would say, well, I study or invest my life in Torah, I'm a creation, and the Amoratsim, the ignoramuses, are also that. Now Tosfos adds over here, Anibriya v'chabriya, klomar yesh loy lev kamoni lavchin bein toiv l'ra. He has the wisdom, like I have, to make a distinction between the positive and the negative. They continue, the Rabbanan of Yavne, Ani melachti bir v'umlachti basadeh, my engagement is in town. In other words, the Beis Medrash, the study hall, the study of Torah takes place nearby where we live. And Rashi adds here, b'klomar noicha melachti mimlachto, my work is easier than his, in the sense of convenience, in proximity. V'hu melachto basadeh, his work, his engagement is out in the fields. Ani mashkim l'mlachti v'mashkim l'mlachto, I wake up early for my preoccupation, and he does the same for his. K'shem shu'eno misgader b'mlachti, just like he is not misgader. Rashi says misgader litfos umenasi. He does not he the am haoretz, the field worker who is portrayed as an ignoramus. He does not attempt to encroach upon my preoccupation. Eini misgader bimlachto. I have no intention of pursuing his preoccupation. Veshemo Toimar, you might say, well, he's justified in not trying to pursue Torah study like I do. Ani marbe v'hum amid, because if the Rabbanan of Yavne would be saying, we are capable, we accomplish a lot. Marbe means accomplish a lot. And v'hu, because of what he perceives as his limitations, he wouldn't be able to accomplish as much. That is no reason not to engage in a life of Torah study. Shaninu, we have learned echad hamarbe ve'echad hamamit, whether one accomplishes a lot or accomplishes a little. There is, as Rashi says over here, sheyesh lo schar man kumo lemarbe, there is the same amount of reward for one who accomplishes little as is due to one who accomplishes a lot. What's the key factor? As it says, as they say, uvachi chavin libo l'shamayim, provided one's intentions are heavenward. So that if a person, let us say, has limited abilities, but he expends the same amount of energy and shows that the same amount of desire as one who is very capable, as far as reward is concerned, there is no distinction. Continuing in the Gemara, Margul of Afume da Abaye, a common saying of Abaye's, Lo lo mihe odom orum biyira, a person should always be scheming in how to pursue and how to accomplish being one of a God-fearing nature. Rashi says, Orum biyira, laharim b'chomine arom oruma liyiras boro. There are times that a person has to think of all kinds of methods and techniques of how to make himself more God-fearing, and we won't get into specific examples, but people may sometimes take upon themselves all types of behavior patterns or externalities in order to cause him to rise in his God-fearingness. At times, externalities have an influence on the internal, before one can internalize things, he pursues different types of techniques. Schemes in order to achieve greater God-fearingness, and until they're internalized, we'll have to view them simply as schemes and techniques. But eventually, it leads to the desired goal of greater Yiras Shamayim. Ma nerach yoshiv chemo, a soft answer when encountering wrath is the best approach, the best response to a wrathful adversary. Umarbe shalom imechov v'imkroivov, and one should be, as Abaye said at the beginning of this passage, lo limhei odom, person should always be one who's marbe shalom, who pursues peace with his echov, with his brothers, with his family, his brothers, kroivov, his family, v'im kol odom, v'afilu im nochri b'shuk, and with all people, and even with the Gentile in the market. Kidei she'e ohuv l'malo v'nechmod l'mata, this will enable a person to be beloved above in heaven and desirable below amongst humanity. V'hei mekubol al abrios, and he would thereby be accepted by the general community. Omru alav harab and Yachim and Zakai, it was said regarding Rabbi Yochanan and Zakai, shlo higdimoy odom shalom me'olam, that no one ever greeted him first, the afilu nochri b'shuk, even the Gentile in the market. In other words, Rabbi Yochanan and Zakai was always the first one to initiate the greeting. There is some interesting information to be found in the Meforshim, the commentaries on this particular practice, but for the time being, the basic idea is quite clear, the idea of one being in pursuit of peace and harmony with all of humanity. Margalo befume de Rova. Rova's common saying, Tachlis Chochma, the Iker, the main point of Torah learning, Tachlis Chochma, Rashi says, Ikoro shel Torah, she'e imo tshuvo maisim tovim. And as the Gemara says, tshuvo maisim tovim, the purpose of Torah is in order to achieve tshuva, Tshuva sometimes is translated as penitence, but literally it has to do with return, and it's a situation of closeness to the Almighty, so that the pursuit of Torah is a method, a design, a vehicle in order to gain closeness to the Almighty and to know how to perform acts of good deed. That's Ma'is and Tovim. It may be said parenthetically that one cannot really know how to do Ma'isim Tovim. What does it mean, how to perform a good deed, unless one studies Torah? There are many instances of people imagining that they know what a good deed is, but it really turns out to be something less than that. Needless to say, we can cite examples from Bikur Cholim, from visiting the ill. A person may have a good intention to visit the ill, and of course it's something that's quite praiseworthy, but maybe it's not known to people that there are some types of ailments that he who is infirmed would rather not have visitations. A person who is suffering from an extreme headache, the actual talk could irritate the person suffering from that. Or there are certain stomach ailments where a person loses control of his digestive system, and as a result, being in the presence of others could lead to great embarrassment. So that even though Bikur Cholim might be an example of Ma'isim Tovim, it has its limitations, and unless you study the halacha on these subjects, what comes to mind is a major sugya in Maseches Nedarim on the topic. One will not know how to perform Ma'isim Tovim. Ma'isim Tovim are not judged by what one himself thinks is a good turn. They have to be defined, and only through Torah study can one actually achieve the full and ultimate understanding of what Ma'isim Tovim are. So the purpose of Torah study, as Rava says, is to get a person to gain closest to the Almighty and also know how to perform Ma'isim Tovim. Shloyei Adam Kervishena, and this is the extreme, that we shouldn't have a situation of a person who is learning Torah, Kore Vishones, learning Torah Shebiksav, Torah Shebalpeh, and then Uvoi Bovivimo, Virabo, Vimishu Godol, and Mimenu Bechoch Vaminion. Then Boet means to kick or rebel against his father, his mother, his rabbi, his teacher, and or someone who is greater than him in wisdom and age. Shenemar, the pasuk that bears out Rava's point, is Reishis Chochma, Yiras Hashem, Sechel Toiv, Lechol Oisehem. That the Reishis Chochma, the primary aspect or point of Torah wisdom, is to achieve a state of God-fearingness, and it provides wisdom to all those that pursue it. And the Gemara points out, La'oisim lo ne'amar. Now there's an alternative girsa on the side, which is more is convenient for us to learn in the context of our sukya. It says l'loim dehem loy namar. It doesn't say in this pasuk that Torah is considered a source of wisdom for those who learn it. Elo l'oisehem. It's a reference to one who fulfills. So that the study of Torah doesn't end with the mere study itself, but rather it's a means to getting to the stage where you're able to perform and fulfill the teachings that one learned. La'oisim lishma, v'lo la'oisim shelo lishma. For those that pursue Torah for its sake, and not for those that have negative motives. Well, the term shelo lishma, we're translating right as negative motives, as we'll elaborate in a moment. V'chol la'oisim shelo lishma, and those who perform Torah, study Torah, and perform its teachings with negative motives, noyach lo shelo nivra, it would have been better that he is not created. Rashi and Tosfos deal with the following problem, and that is that in other places in the Shas, the quote here that we see is that they quote from Maseches Psachim, but there are other references that in fact one is encouraged to pursue Torah shelo lishma, with the feeling that in the event that he does thusly, he will eventually come to a state where he will pursue Torah lishma for its own sake, for its higher goal. So in this Gemara, yet we see that one who learns lo lishma is considered reprehensible and better than he wasn't even created. So how do we resolve these two sources? So let us take a look at the Rashi. Ha'isa shaloi lishma noyach loy shaloi nivra pirush she'eno loy made kedei l'kayim. He doesn't learn in order to fulfill ela l'kanter, but rather to be. Kanter sounds like the word in English cantankerous, one who is argumentative, and he'll learn and pursue Torah only with the purpose of challenging others on Torah grounds, but with no intention whatsoever of actually fulfilling. The Beperek Mokum Shinogu Amrinon, the Mora in Psochim says, Rava raises a contradiction. Ksiv ad shomayim chazdecha, uksiv me'al hashomayim. One says that your chesed, your kindness, is up until the heavens, and one says it's beyond the heavens. And there, the Gemara says, kan ba'oisei shel olishma, and the distinction there is made between one who pursues Torah not for its own sake versus one who does. The hosam ayri b'mekayim kedei sheyichabduhu. There, where the Gemara in Psochim features in a positive light one who learns lo lishma, that's because he is pursuing Torah in order to become honored in the eyes of others, in order for kavod purposes. The chemash b'shamid pirkin. So that type of lo lishma is not considered the type of lo lishma that we are dealing with over here. Just to review, there's lo lishma, which is lekanter, where his whole purpose of Torah study is to be argumentative and challenge other people with no personal intention of fulfilling. And there's another kind of Torah study where his pursuit of Torah study is for the purpose of others honoring him, but he himself will fulfill the Torah teachings, but with the intent that others should give him kavod. Looking at the Tosfos, ha'oisa shelo lishma noach lo shelo nivra, v'im toimar omar Rabbi Yehuda amar Rav perek mokum ha'shinagu. Is it not said over there in Psachim lo'olam yasakon b'torah v'mitzvos filu shelo lishma? One should be in pursuit of Torah even shelo lishma, shemitov shelo lishma ba lishma, that through the non-lishma pursuit, where one is not pursuing Torah for its own lofty sake, nevertheless one will come to that. V'yesh lomar, so the resolution is, even though there it says one should pursue shelo lishma, the hocha mairi here where we're saying noach lo shelo nivra is shenu lo medo l'kantir chaverov, as Rashi says. Here he's learning without any intention of fulfilling. He's only learning to challenge and to argue with others, using Torah sources only for the purpose of quoting it against others. The hasam mairi shelo medo almanashi chabdu. And there in Psochem, the Gemara is telling us about one, or is featuring one, who is learning because he feels that he will gain honor through learning, but he's not learning simply to challenge others, but rather he feels that this will be a means of gaining more honor for himself. Continuing in the Gemara, Margala Bafume Derav. Loi Kailamazeh Hoilamabo. A common saying of Rav is that the world to come is not like this world. Olam Habo, Ein Bo, the world to come does not have lo achila v'lo shtia. It doesn't have eating. It's a non concrete world. It's a world of spirituality, and hence there is no eating. There's no drinking. V'lo pir v'rib. There's no reproduction. V'lo masumatan. There's no business. There's no commerce. V'lo kino. V'lo sino. There's no jealousy nor hatred. V'lo tachrus. And no competition. Elat tzadikim yoshvin v'atrasam v'rasham. Rather, the righteous are sitting with crowns on their heads. V'nanim yiziv hashchina, and are enjoying and benefiting from the divine glow. Shenemar v'yachzu es olikim v'yochlu v'yishtu. It's an interesting pasuk that concludes with v'yochlu v'yishtu, which we just said there isn't achila and shtia. So Rashi is quick to point out v'yochlu v'yishtu savu miziv hashchina. They gain satisfaction through the divine glory, ki'ilu achlu v'shus shasu, as if one had eaten and drank. In other words, in order to describe the indescribable, so the psukim often have to resort to things that we can relate to, even though it's not exactly the same case. Continuing in the Gemara, Gedoylo Havtocha Shivtichon HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeNoshim Yoiser Min HaNoshim. The ultimate reward that women can gain is greater than that which men, males, can gain. And here we have a Gemara that for many Westerners might be very surprising, where there's a certain major corruption and misconception about some type of secondary position that women occupy in Judaism. Here you have one line which basically undoes that whole mindset, which says basically that the ultimate reward and good that can be achieved by women is greater than that achieved by men. The source for this is a pasuk, Shenemar Noshim Shananois Kono Shmano Koli Benois Boitchos Hazeno Imrosi. And these terms of Shananois and Boitchos are highly complimentary expressions that are not said in the case of men. The Gemara now asks, well, if that be the case, then the promise that's made to women for ultimate reward is greater than that which is made to men. What is the means of their gaining this great merit? So the Gemara Omar Le Rav Le Rebichia Noshim V'Mai Zachyon. What is the means of their gaining this merit? Answer: Vakru Benayu LeBei Kenishta. The women are those that send their sons, their children, to the shuls. The shuls were the place that housed schools for young boys. Uvasnu Gavrayu Bei Rabbanon, and that they are responsible for motivating their husbands to go to learn Torah. Rashi points out Bei Rabbanon, Beis HaMedrash, Shom Shoyim Mishnah Gemara, so that the women are actually the center of the Jewish home. They're responsible for their children's Torah education, for their husband's pursuit of Torah. The Natrin LeGavrayu Ad Osumi Bei Rabbanon, and they will wait up late till their husbands come back from their places of study, and thereby being able to conduct a life of marriage, of intimacy with one another. So the women extend themselves, maintaining the entire house around Torah study. That is their great merit. Kihavu miftari rabbonan mibe rabbi ami v'amri lo mibe rabbi chanina amri lehochi. Here we have a new marking. There's an inverted triangle, which in this case simply is a new form of series marking. And under the Mivneh heading, we've noted in the margin, Kihavu Miftri. There's a series of statements of sayings that the Torah students would say when they were leaving their yeshiva, when they left their Rosh Yeshiva, the head of the yeshivas. They would say as follows. So in this case, the Rabbanan from the yeshiva of Ami, another version is from the yeshiva of Rabbi Chanina, Amri Lehochi. They would say to their Rabbanan, their Rosh Yeshiva, as follows. This is said in a prayer fashion, in a hopeful fashion, that Olam Chatir Bechayecha, Rashi says, Kol Tzorchecha Timtza, that all of your needs you should find, and V'achrisecha L'chayim Avo, and your future should be found in the world to come. V'tikvascha L'dor Dorim, and your hopes for generations. Libcho Yeget Vuna, Picho Yedaber Chochmos, that your heart should think in wisdom, and your mouth should speak chokhmas, wiseness. The ulishoncha yarchish runonos, and your tongue should murmur praises. Afopecho yashiru negdecho, and your literally your eyelids should be straight in front of you, meaning that you should be able to understand Torah. Rashi says, Yashiru negdecho, loshon yosher, a loshon of straightness, shetei meivin b'torah kalocha, that your understanding of Torah should be one that is a correct understanding as opposed to a corruption of Torah. There are unfortunately those that may engage in Torah study, but their conclusions are twisted and corrupt, so that one needs a prayer like this, that the conclusion should be straight. Inecho yo'iru b'mor Torah, your eyes should be enlightened with the light of Torah. Fonecho yaziru kizor akian, your face should shine like the heavenly glow. Sifsasecho yabiu das, your lips should utter wisdom. Uchlesecho ta'loizna meishorim, and your, literally your kidneys, your innards should be, ta'loizna is an expression of joy, should be full of joy, of proper joy. Upamecha yirutsu lishmo divrei atik yomin, and your pamecha, your feet, should run in pursuit of the age-old wisdom, which is Torah wisdom. Ki avu mifti rabbonin mibei Rav Chisa v'ami lo mibei Rav Shmuel bar Nachmeni, when the rabbonin would depart from these from the yeshiva of Rav Chisa, or some say the yeshiva of Rav Shmuel bar Nachmeni, omru lehochi, they would say to their Rosh Yeshiva as follows. Alufenu Misubalin. Now before we go on, it's important for the continuation of the Gemara just to note that this Pasuk from Tehillim Kuf Mem Dalid, Pasuk Yud Dalid, is, we featured it on the side of the Gemara, the complete Pasuk Alufenu Misubalin Vein Peretz Vein Yoytzeis Vein Tzvocha B'ruchoi Voseinu. So in the meantime, we're going to focus on the two words that begin this Pasuk. Alufenu Misubalim. Alufenu Misubalim, Ravu Shmuel, Vamri Law, another version of speakers is Rabbi Yochan Verbalozer. Chad Omar, one of these Rabbanan say, Alufenu Batorah, Misubalim Bemitzvahs. The word Alufenu is someone who is Melumad, someone who is, like there's another word maybe you're familiar with, is Ulpan, a place of study of languages in modern Hebrew. The word in, you also find the word Yolif is to learn something. So here, Alufenu Misubalim, the ones who have studied are Misubalim. Misubalim, from the word Sevel, is to bear a burden. So the first approach here is Alufenu B'Torah Misubalim Mitzvahs, that one, those who have learned Torah and carry many mitzvahs and conduct themselves with mitzvahs. The Chalam Alufenu B'Torah V'Mitzvahs, the other version is to take the word Alufenu and have it refer to both Torah and mitzvahs. U'misubalin b'isurin, and they are at, oftentimes nevertheless full of b'isurin, literally pain and suffering, or one might say challenges. It often depends on how one takes things. The Pasuk goes on to say, Ein Peretz. Now, you'll note with our markings, we have a series of, we have a series marking of triangles. On the side, we've noted Sidra Shelote Siotenu. There, that in this Pasuk, we're also going to, let's see, weave into this Pasuk a type of prayer that our Siotenu, our community or our generation should not be like that of, and we'll go through a number of examples. And we've written Hemshech drushes ala pasuk alufenu misubalim. You'll notice that there are more drushes on that pasuk that began with the words alufenu misubalim. And you can see if you just scan down the Gemara, the expressions that we saw in the pasuk: ein peretz, v'ein yoytzeis, v'ein tzvocha b'chorvoseinu. So what we are striving for is as follows: ein peretz shalotei siatenu kisiatu shel David. Our generation or our community should not be like that of King David's. Shiyotza mimenu achitofel, from whom there came forth Achitofel, who is a person who was poreitz. We're saying here ein poreitz, he was poreitz. He caused a breach in the Davidic, in the Davidic kingdom. He we'll say was part of the Avshalom rebellion. He offered wicked counsel against David, so he was a poreitz. He caused a breach. The pasuk says, "V'ein yotzei shelotei siatenu k'siatu shel Shaul," that our our generation should not be like that of Shaul HaMelech, Shiotsumimenu Doeg Ladoimi, that there came forth from him Doeg Ladoimi, who is a person who eventually went astray, as the Gemara in Sanhedrin reports. The Ein Tzavocha, there is no screaming, Shelo Te Siatenik Siatu Shalisha Shiotsumenu Gehazi. We should not be a community like that of the prophet Elisha that had in his midst Gehazi. And what is the issue? What's the connection between Gehazi and the concept of, or the phenomenon of screaming? So Tosis points out, Svochazu Gehazi Shehoya Mitzora. He was a Mitzora, and it was afflicted with the Mitzora skin affliction. Uksiv Bey, regarding a Mitzora, Tosis says, the Pasuk says, Tome Tome Yikra, V'hainu Tzvocha, that a person is afflicted with Mitzras, he announces it, he cries out that he is suffering from it. And Gehazi was a person that was a wicked individual, was a Rosha, and he eventually suffered from Tzaras. Without getting into the details, that is enough for our Shiur, but there's a lot more to see, especially through learning the Novi on that topic. The Pasuk also says, Baruch Hoseinu, Shelo Yehe Lanu Ben O Talmid Shematiach Tavshil Barabim. We shouldn't have the misfortune of having a son or a student that burns his food in public. Now, I have seen uncensored versions of Gemara that add here, Ki Yeshu Hanotzri, like the famous Nazarene, who was in fact a student of Tanoim, but he went off the path. He went astray. And that's the parallel here to a student who burns his food in public, who publicly abrogates Torah observance and corrupts Torah teachings. And we know what misfortune befell humanity as a result of that. So we're praying here that we should not suffer that, a son or a student going off the path. The Pasuk says, Shimu Eli Abir Elev HaRachoike Mitztoka Rav Ushmuel V'Amri Lo Rav Yochanan Rav Elazar. Just like we had before, these names, who is darshaning, who is really darshaning this this pasuk. We had before the drasha from the pasuk in Tehillim Alufeinu Musubalim. We had these names, Rav and Shmuel, and some say Rav and Elazar, and you have the same let's say vagueness of names regarding this drasha. But before we go on, we should note a structural point. You'll see a Roman numeral number 1 to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara text, and a number of lines down later you'll see a squiggle underline expression in the Gemara Upligo de Rav Yehuda, and then a Roman numeral number 2. On this side, under our Nosei Mivneh heading, we explain the 1 and 2 are Shnei Gishois, two approaches Lefarish to explain Lemiha Kavona Babirei Lev Hamuzkorn Beposuk Bishai Memvov. Who are the Abirei Lev that are referred to in this particular pasuk? It's either, the first approach is they are tzaddikim, they are highly righteous individuals, and a second approach is almost the opposite, reference to fools or those that are wicked. So we're going to be taking the same words and as we just mentioned, two practically opposite approaches to the pasuk. So first approach, Chad Omar, Kol Olam Kuloi Nizoinin Bitztoka, that all of the world is sustained, humanity is sustained through Tztoka, through the righteousness of the Almighty, and not because of merits that they themselves, that humanity themselves have attained. The Hain, the Abirei Lev, literally the strong of heart, they are Nizoinin Bizroa. They sustain themselves because of the merits that they themselves have achieved. So they're not living on, let's say, on borrowed on borrowed funds, but they are living off their own accomplishments. The Chalomar, another version of this approach, the tzaddikim approach, goes further and says, "Kolam kulo nizoinin bishusam." The rest of the world sustains themselves because of the merit that these have achieved, that these righteous ones have achieved. The haim, the righteous ones themselves, their own sustenance is afilu bishus atzmon ein nizonim. They're not drawing from their own merits. In other words, the merits that these righteous have achieved are of benefit to the rest of humanity. Regarding themselves, they are not drawing, they're not drawing from their own funds of merit. In other words, their own merits will say will be a source of reward for them, completely stored up for the world to come, to for the future, because in this world they're not drawing on their own account. And there is a historical a figure that illustrates this, Kid Rav Yudah Marav, like his teaching, the Amar Rav Yudah Marav, every day a heavenly voice emanates from Har Chorev, another name for Mount Sinai, the Omeres Kolam Kulo Nizoinin Bishvil Chanina Bini, the entire world draws their sustenance in the merit of Chanina, Rabbi Chanina. This is Rabbi Chanina ben Doisa, a very famous Tanaic figure that one studies, learns about throughout the Shas. He's mentioned in different places. The Chanina b'ni dai lo bekav charuvin merav Shabbos lerav Shabbos, and Chanina, my son, he himself, it's sufficient for him to sustain himself. A kav is a measure, charuvin, often translated as carob, some of the type of food that is of considered of nominal value, and he lives on this small amount of charuvim from week to week. So that there is an example of someone whose presence in the world served as a basis for the entire world's existence, and he himself didn't enjoy or draw from his own merits to receive physical pleasures whatsoever in this world. Who pliga the Rav Yehuda, the approach that we've taken till now to Abirei Lev as being tzaddikim is at odds with Rav Yehuda's approach. The Yom Rav Yehuda, man Abirei Lev, who are the Abirei Lev? What is an example of Abirei Lev referred to in the pasuk? Goivoi Tipshoi. Goivoi is the name of a nation. Tipshoi would be the foolish Goivoi people. Omar Rav Yosef Teda. And we can prove this, that these Goivoi people are considered Tipshoi or fools. Or Rashi says that Rabbi Yehuda's approach is to describe Abirei Lev as Rishoyim. So he says, Rav Yosef says, to prove this, Doloi Gaya Gira Minayu. From the Goivoi people, there was never a convert. Now, let's make it clear. Judaism does not pursue conversion. We're not a type of people that seeks converts, as opposed to what you find with many of the other major world religions. Judaism does not evangelize in that sense, but there is the feeling that Judaism represents Torah wisdom in this world, we'll call the absolute truth, without any corruption, and one would wonder why is it that from a particular people no one has pursued Judaism on their own. Once again, we are not seeking converts, but on the other hand, one would imagine that someone that has a sense of good sense and analysis about him and is seeking the ultimate truth, that on their own one would come to wanting to convert. And of course, we will welcome someone who is a sincere, who sincerely desires to pursue Judaism, and yet from these people, no one ever came to this conclusion, and hence they are called the Abirei Lev, the strong of heart. In the negative sense, we'll call it the concrete heart. Omar Rav Ashi, Vinei Masa Mechasya Abirei Lev Ninu, the people of the city of Mechasya are Abirei Lev, the Kochozu Yakud Araisa Trezimni Bishasa, they see the glory of Torah twice a year, and this is a reference to the time right before Pesach, the month of Adar, and the time of Elul, right before Tishrei, where you have, these are two, the months preceding the major holidays of Pesach and Sukkot with the other Yomim Neroyim, and these are times that the Rashi describes it as there's massive gathering of Jews to learn the laws regarding these holidays, and that is the glory of Torah. Tosfos seems to say that during these times there seems to have been miracles that occurred, and just like we saw before by the Gavoi. Velo, the Gemara says, Velo kum gaya gira minayim, and from Masa Mechasya, no one ever converted. In other words, you would assume that if you see a people that experience glory and honor, that someone would be drawn to that. And if they're not drawn to it with the desire to convert, then that just shows how far and how deeply wicked these people must have been. The Gemara continues, Choson im roitze likrois v'chule. We saw in the Mishnah a teaching that a choson, someone who just got married, if he wants to say the Kriya Shema, he can. And then Reb Shimon Gamliel offered a dissenting opinion that says it's not lo kol roitze litos Hashem yitzel, not just anyone who wants to say Kriya Shema can come along and say it. The Rashi that is found here on our daf really belongs back on the Mishnah, but Rashi says here, lo kol roitza im lo huchsuk chacham v'chosid l'rabim. Rashi says if a person hasn't attained a status of being wise and pious in the eyes of the public, ein ze ela gaiva, a person who is a chosan, who's preoccupied with his marriage and the impending intimacy that he's going to experience with his new wife, and yet he does say the Kriya Shema, even though he's so preoccupied with these other thoughts. So it's Gaiva Shemara Batsu Shiochel Chayvin Libu. He's demonstrating a sense of haughtiness that here I am, I, even though I have so many other things on my mind, I can have the proper intent and, as we say, the proper kavona. So Rav Shimon says, because of my fear of a demonstration of haughtiness, I would not allow your standard chosan to say the Kriya Shema, as opposed to the Tanakama. So now this raises a question. We have a long question mark. You can see to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text a kuf that's encircled with a descending vertical dashed line, indicating the length of the question. And the heading of our sugya, we have a nosei, a topic heading on the outside margin, where we have written Birur Shitas Shmuel V'Rabbanan, and a clarification, an inquiry as to the opinions of these two Tanaic points of view. Ha'im Yesh Lachshav Shliura, should we concern ourselves concerning the possibility of Yuhara, demonstration of haughtiness? Ha'gemora Tiyashiv Stira B'Shitas Sam, the Gemara will resolve the contradiction. Kfi she mofiim b'shnei mekoros, the seeming contradiction as it appears in two sources, ubekach yochiach de lukuliyam uchishin liura, and through this, one of the approaches that the Gemara will take, it could in fact be a machlokus in the Gemara itself, but we will show that everyone is in fact worried about demonstrations of haughtiness. And the topics that we will see are Be'inyan Kriya Shema L'Choson, and two is Melacha B'Tisha B'Av. This will become clearer as we go back into the Gemara. So the Gemara asks as follows: L'Meimro D'Rav Shimon M'Gamliel Chayesh Liura V'Rabbanan Lo Chayesh Liura. Are we from our Mishnah to suggest that Rav Shimon M'Gamliel is the one that's concerned with concerned and objects to demonstrations of you are of haughtiness through that which he forbids the chosen from saying kriyashma v'rabbonon, and they lo chayshi, they're not concerned with that. In other words, if someone, if he chooses to say kriyashma even though he will be posing himself in the eyes of others as a haughty individual, go right ahead. But we have heard the opposite regarding these two opinions, disnan, and we see a Tanaic source, as is featured in the following framed section. This deals with the issue of malacha, of work done on Tisha B'Av, pursuit of work. Tisha B'Av is a day dedicated to mourning the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, and pursuit of malacha on Tisha B'Av is something that doesn't exactly enhance one's preoccupation with mourning. However, it should be noted that we're not dealing with a day that's proscribed from malacha on a scriptural basis. We're dealing with halachas that are rabbinic in nature. So you will find a certain amount of flexibility, and the source reads as follows: Mokam shnagu lasus malacha b'tisha b'av oisin, places, communities where they accustom themselves to, in fact, doing malacha, going to work on Tisha B'Av, so one can do that. Mokam shnagu shlo lasus enosin, in communities that they refrain from malacha, so one is not to pursue malacha. V'chol mokam tamid chomim b'teilim, and in all places, one who is a Torah scholar shall refrain from malacha. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, Le'olam yase kol adam es atzmo ketalmud chacham. A person should always make himself like a Talmud Chacham. So, according to Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, you can have someone that's not a Talmud Chacham, he's not a Torah scholar, and he'll be refraining from work, posing himself as if he were a Talmud Chacham. So it doesn't seem from here that Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel is very concerned with demonstrations of haughtiness. According to the Tanakhama, if you're in a place that the custom is to pursue malacha, then do so. Don't act counter to the common practice. Don't appear to be something that you are not. So the Tanakhama would seem to be concerned with the issue of you are. Rabbi Shlomo Leo, on the other hand, doesn't seem to be concerned whatsoever. Kashya d'Rabbon ad'Rabbonon, Kashya d'Rabbon ad'Rabbon Leo. So this poses a contradiction to the way we set things up just before this. And with our markings, I hope it's clear where it's clear that we've highlighted the contradiction simply by underlining the relevant names. The first underlinings in this section, you had Rav Shlomo Leo Chai Shlua, then in this Tanaic source, Shlomo Leo's name is underlined, and you can see he's saying, which where we dashed underline, everyone can make himself into a Talmud Chacham, to quite seem quite the opposite of what he said at the outset. So the Gemara, that with that we end the long question. Now we come to a resolution. Two approaches. Omar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan is the first approach. He says, Mukhlefes Hashita. Well, we have to switch around, and it would seem from analyzing the Gemara and the approach that Tosfos takes, that the expectation is to switch around the Mishnah, and in our, that is our Mishnah, because what we had here is also a Tanaic source, but our Mishnah, and the result being the Shulam Leo, will allow a Chosan to say Kriyashma and not be Choshesh for Yuhara, just like in Tisha B'Av Rav Shulam Leo is not Choshesh for Yuhara. So that's Mukhlefes Hashita, thereby no more contradiction. We've simply straightened out the two opinions with in light of the two sources. So that according to Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shlomo Leo will assume the position that we are not Choshesh V'Yuhara, and the Chachomim will take the approach that we are. Rav Shisha Breid Rav Idi Omar Li'olam Lo Tachlif. He says, don't switch around the sources, and this is the opinion that we made an allusion to in our introductory comments, where it seems, as far as Rav Shisha is concerned, everyone, all Tanoim, are concerned with creating misimpressions, with creating with one posing himself as something that he's not, with haughtiness. Notice, of course, we have a long answer marking to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. It takes a few lines to develop this particular answer, and he will go through it step by step. So Rav Shisha says, don't switch any of these sources around. the Rabbanan Rabbanan lo kashi, as far as the Rabbanan's opinion is concerned, there is no contradiction. Kriya Shema, Kevan de Kuleamu Kokoru, with regard to the Chosen and the recitation of Kriya Shema, a man's getting married, but everyone around him is saying Kriya Shema. Fihunami Kori, he too is joining in with what everyone else is doing. So lo mechsikura, he's not creating an impression of haughtiness, of showing, hey, I'm better than everyone else. He's just joining in with what everyone else is doing anyway. And now Hocha, regarding Tisha B'Av, Kevan de Kuli Almo Avdi Malacha, since everyone is doing Malach the Ihu Lo Ka'avid, and let us say we're in a community that everyone is working, and he would not be working, so then Mechsikura, he's posing himself as different than his communal practice. That would be a problem of Yura. So according to the Chumim, sticking out, looking different, that's the basis of Yura, so that in the case of Kriya Shema, by the Chosson saying Kriya Shema, he is thereby not sticking out, and in the case of Tisha B'Av, if he were to cease doing Malacha where everyone else is doing, he would be sticking out. Therefore, we see the Rabbanan are consistent in the two sources with a concern of not sticking out, hence avoiding yuhara. Rav Shimon Leo, Ashumel Lo Kashya, his approaches also are not contradictory. They're Lo Kashya. Hasam, in the case of Kriya Shema, Bekavona Talya Milsa, the recitation of Kriya Shema is dependent on intent, on concentration. Vanan Sadi de lo motzi lechavni daite, and we know, everyone around knows that this Chosson, he can't possibly have proper kavona, and if he were to go ahead and say the Kriya Shema, so he is demonstrating that he is something that he really is not. So it's better, as far as Shmuel is concerned, for the Chosson to refrain from the saying of Kriya Shema. Avol Hocha, in the case of Tisha B'Av, let us say a person's in a community where everyone is doing malacha, and where everyone, meaning a lot of people, are doing malacha, and this individual is not. Hocha haroya elmer, the public that sees him not working, they will conclude malacha hu de'ein lo. This guy's unemployed. He has no work to go to. Just go out and see kama batlonik b'shuka. See how many unemployed, how many people that are batlonim, that are simply of lack occupation, that exist in the public. So that even on work days there are those that are not working. So that even though it's a community that does practice going to work on Tisha B'Av, there are those that are unemployed. So that his avoiding work is not a demonstration of haughtiness, but in the eyes of the public. So you can see that Rav Shimon ben Gamliel also is concerned with impressions that people make, so as to avoid, so not create a situation of haughtiness or an impression of haughtiness. This concludes the second parak, and we now go further in our Daf Yomi Shir with the Mishnah, beginning the third parak. Mi shemesoy mutol lefonov, poter mikriya shma, one who has a mace lying in front of him. Literally, it says his dead is lying in front of him. He is exempt from kriya shma. Now, the next two words are the subject of quite a bit of discussion in the different Meforshim, so we are not going to read them based on the Bach's recommendation and also a lively discussion in the Tosfos. So he is exempt from Kriya Shema umin hatfilin, and from wearing tefillin umikol mitzvos umus b'Torah. Now we must go immediately to Rashi, where he explains what's the basis of this exemption from Kriya Shema, from wearing tefillin, and from all other mitzvos. Rashi says, on the second line of commentary on this perek, he says, "Lefishu torud b'machsheves k'vroso." He is preoccupied with how to bury this deceased. V'avyedum yedechosan depoter mishum tirda de mitzvah. He is like the case of the chosan that we saw an exemption for him from saying Kriya Shema because of his preoccupation with fulfilling the mitzvah of consummating his marriage. Here too, he is preoccupied with fulfilling the mitzvah of burying the dead. And since his mind is preoccupied with fulfilling the mitzvah, he falls under the category of oisek b'mitzvah. Preoccupation with one mitzvah exempts you is poter min ha-mitzvah, exemption from other mitzvahs. Continuing in the Mishnah, Noisei Hamita, V'chilufehen, V'chilufei Chilufehen, those that carry the Mita, literally the stretcher or the bed or the coffin, those that are carrying the dead to burial. So those are the Noisei Hamita, and the Chilufehen are those that replace the initial carriers. Rashi points out, Chilufehen sheken derech shemishalfen loseis l'fisha kol chafetzin lizkois bo. In a public funeral, everyone that's there wants to merit this mitzvah of carrying the dead to his burial, so that you have the initial carriers and those that replace them, v'chilufehen, and a third string that comes along afterwards. So es shelifnei hamita, the es shelachar hamita. There are those that are in front of the coffin, those that are anticipating the coffin being brought to them, and they will continue the carrying. And then there are those that already carried him; those that are after, that are in back of it. In other words, they've already carried the mace, the deceased. Es shelifnei hamita tzorech bohen pturin. Those that are in front of the coffin and will be needed, and their services will be needed, so they're exempt. The es shel achar hamita tzorech bohen chayovim, and those that have already carried, and it's pointed out in Rashi, even if they may be needed to continue carrying later on, nevertheless they are not exempt. They are now, they've carried already, so they've fulfilled their basic obligation to the deceased, therefore they now are bound to the mitzvos. V'elu pturin minat fila. Both of these groups, the lifnei hamita and achar hamita, are exempt from shmon esrei. Shmon esrei being something that is not d'oraisa. Kavru es hames v'chazru. Now we've buried the dead, and they've come back from the burial site, and the return from the burial site is involved with offering comfort to the mourners. So they've buried the dead, the chazur. Now they're on their way back, on their way back to where the mourners are lined up. If the people coming back from the burial can start and complete the Kriya Shema before they get to the Shura. The Rashi says, L'Shura, Shoyu Menachemim Es Ha'Ovel, Behekif Shura Svivoisov. People would form lines around, maybe circular or semicircular lines around the mourner. B'Shuva Menachever. So that's the Shura, that's the site of a consolation offered to the mourner, so that if someone coming back from the burial can start and finish the Kriya Shema before he gets to that point, yaschilu, so they should begin. The imlav, if it's too short an amount of time from the burial site to reaching the mourner, then lo yaschilu, then they should not begin. Ha'imdin b'shura, those that are assembled around the mourner. Hapnimim pturim, those that are innermost are exempt. Vachitzonim chayovim, those that are in the back rows are obligated in the recitation of Kriya Shema. The next line you can see is in parentheses, as it is a Mishnah later on. The Gemara. Before we learn the Gemara, we have a topic heading on the margin, the Nosei. Ptur mi mitzvahs mishum mace, exemption from mitzvahs because of the dead. Hakover es meso, there we will discuss the one who's involved with burying the dead. Hamishamer es mace, one who is guarding a body, guarding it until it's taken off to burial. Haholech beis hakvoros, and we'll also be speaking about one who walks through a cemetery. Under the Mivneh heading, the structural note, we will be encountering a diamond or a series of diamonds in this sugya. They represent sidra shel kushyos. There are a series of questions that are raised throughout this discussion. So as far as this particular series of questions, since we are in the context of a daf yomi shir, we will start the first question and deal with it, but the subsequent questions will have to be left till the next daf. So we could start our Gemara noting that there is a long question marking. The question takes you down quite a few lines down Yud Ches Omed Aleph. Mutal Lefonov in, She'eno Mutal Lefonov Lo. Our Mishnah said that one whose deceased is lying in front of him, when is there an exemption from mitzvahs? When the body is there in front of him. If it's in another house, She'eno Mutal Lefonov Lo, there is no exemption, rather there is obligation. Ve'romini, and now we raise a contradiction from another Tanaic source. Misha Meso Mutal Lefonov. Someone who has a There is a corpse lying in front of him. So he's expected to eat in another, literally in another house. Oftentimes in the Shas, the word bias might mean another room. But the point is, not in front of the body. If he doesn't have this bias acher option, so if he doesn't own another bias, another house, so he should go to his friend's house, an area owned by someone else. If he doesn't have that option, he should make a divider, place a block between himself and the corpse. And then, being that you have this mechitza, this fence or this divider up, so now you can eat. And let's say you don't have any material through which to make this divider, then turn away and eat. And one should not eat in a reclining fashion. Rashi says, "Kederach hamesubin b'chashivus al tzido asmolus of the mita." This maybe for many of you reminds you of the practice that we conduct during the Seder night, Pesach night at the Seder, where we eat in a reclining fashion to demonstrate our freedom and our significance. But in the context of a corpse, in the environment of a corpse, this would not be proper behavior. V'eino oichel, the Gemara continues at the bottom line, V'eino oichel bosar, v'eino shoyse yayin, he is not allowed to, when he's eating, he's not allowed to consume meat, nor drink wine, V'eino mevorech, v'eino mezamein, Rashi says, "Eino mevorech ve'eino tzorech levorech birkas amosi." There's a discussion in the Tosfos about this word tzorech. Rashi's explanation is he doesn't need to. Some meforshim say, and you can see this in the Tosfos, he's not allowed to make a brocha. The birkas amosi is the blessing before eating. Ve'eino mezamein. Rashi says, "Eino tzorech levorech birkas amozon." And the Gemara continues at the top of Yud Ches Omer Aleph. The Ein Mevorchen Olav, he does not need others to make a bracha for him to enable to be motzi him in the bracha. The Ein Mezamen Olav, and he doesn't join in a zimun, in a group of three for the benching for the Birkas HaMazon after eating. Now here we've dashed, underlined, this is really the central point of bringing in this source as a contradiction. Upoter Mikriyas Shema Minatfilin Mikol Mitzvos Omos B'Torah. Now, this exemption is going on everything that was said in this source, including the scenario. And now, this is as far as developing a question. We have to give this explanation. In the answer stage, we may alter what we're saying right now, but this source clearly taught about someone who had a mace in front of him. The source said he should eat in another house. And you'll notice that we dashed, underlined that on the bottom of Omid Beis, three lines from the bottom, so we have a source that's describing someone eating in another house, and it says here that person is potter mikriyas shma mitfilin mitfilin. When we learned our Mishnah, it said if the mace is in front of you, there is an exemption, and from this we inferred if it's not in front of you, there is no exemption, you are obligated. This is the heart of the problem. So, once again, according to our Mishnah, only if the body is in front of you is there exemption. According to this diamond source, this contradictory source, even if the body is not in front of you, you are obligated. The source continues three lines from the top. If it happens to be a Shabbos, that's a day that you can't engage in the burial itself. So, one is entitled to recline and eat meat and drink wine, all the things we mentioned before, there's an exemption. He is practicing here. He is obligated to fulfill all the mitzvahs of the Torah. Rav Shimon Leo Omer, Mitoch Shenischayev Beilu, Nischayev Bekulan. Since he's obligated in these, he's obligated in all the mitzvos. Now, this comment of Shimon Leo gives rise to an internal question, and that's why the next line is in brackets. The Omer Rabbi Yochanan, my binai. Well, what's the difference between Rabbi Shimon Leo and the Dea, the Tanakama? He also said he's chayav in all mitzvahs. So the Gemara answers, Tashmish Hamita Ika Binayu. The allowance to engage in conjugal relations and intimacy with one's spouse will be a point of difference. According to Rabbi Shimon Leo, he will be obligated. The Ovel is chayav ba'oina on Shabbos. And the Tanakama would say no. This is pointed out in Rashi, Iko ben Elu, Reb Shimon, it's a reference of Shimon Leo, Chayav Ovel Ba'oina B'Shabbos. Oina is the expectation, the requirement of a man providing relations to his wife on Shabbos. Kotoni Miasti, Gemara, now here we come to our point of emphasis, and that's why we've dashed, underline this to draw your attention. It's like this is the main point where the question comes to a head. Kotonimius, it says in this source, Potter, there is an exemption including the case where the mace is in another, or let's say specifically in a case where the mace is in another house. So again, we're repeating ourselves a bit over here, but in our Mishnah, it said, Misha Mesa Muta Lefonov, only if you're in the presence of the mace is there an exemption. And in this source, we see, even if you are in another house, you are not where the mace is, the exemption continues. Omar Rav Papa. To answer this, we have Rav Papa is the first answer. Tirgamah, he says, explain the exemption of the brisa, where of this source, where you are in another house and you're exempt. That Tirgamah, let's say this again. Tirgamah, the exemption of the brisa, namely where we dashed underlined potem mikriyashman fill on the top line of this page, that is amachzir ponav yoichal. That's only on the case where he turns away, where we said if he doesn't have a mechitza, he's basically still in the direct presence of the mace. So that conforms to what our Mishnah also says. When you're in direct presence of the mace, so there is exemption. And likewise, this Tanaic source, the Ptur Mikriya Shema Tefillah Tefillin, is not going on the scenario of Oichel Babayas Acher. It's going only on the case where he's got no mechitza to... He doesn't have the ability to make a mechitza, so he's still in direct presence of the mace. Fine, then and only then is he in fact exempt. Rav Ashi Omar. Rav Ashi says that the exemption of the Tanaic source is in fact going on the entire source. And he explains, Kevon Shemutal Olav Lukovro, since you're dealing with someone in this source, which began with the words Misha Mesoi, Mutal Lefonov, he understands it as being someone who is obligated to take care of the burial of this individual. So someone who is obligated to taking care of the burial of an individual, and we should, before going further, point out Rashi explains on this, on the third narrow line, Rav Ashi Omar, La'olam akula, the exemption of kriyashma and other mitzvahs is going on the whole source. Umasnisin nami, our mission as well, which we thought you should read with an inference. No, umasnisin nami afilu bayis acher nami potar le. The chol shemuta lov lekovro kori muto lefonov. The expression of mutal lefonov is the same as mutal olov. That means that the obligation to see to his burial is upon you. So anyone who is obligated to, who is responsible for the burial of a particular mace, whether he is in its presence or not, is exempt. Shenemar. Now the idea of being lefonov, literally in front of you, means upon you, even if it's not actually in front of you. Shenemar vayokam avro me'alpenei meso. It says regarding the death of Sora Imenu, it says that Avram arose from his wife who was dead. Me'al Pene Mesa, V'nemar, V'ekbara Mesi Milofonai. And he says, and I will bury her from in front of me. But she was not actually in front of him at the time he was saying this. Kol zman shemutal olav lekovro. So we conclude from here that as long as it's upon you to see to their burial, kemutal lefonav domi, it's as if they're in front of you. So as a result of that, the exemption applies whether they're physically in front of you or even if they're not physically in front of you, but you happen to be the one who's obligated to see to their burial. This concludes today's Gemara section. For those who are interested, there follows a shiur on today's Tosfos. So we now turn back to Yud Zayin Omer Aleph, and for those who have heard our Gemara shiur today, you will notice that the first couple Tosfosin in today's shiur were already alluded to and learned during the Gemara shiur. But that being said, let's go back to Yud Zayin Omer Aleph. V'nafshi kefor lakol tiheh. This is one of the prayers that were recited after the Shmon Esrei. In particular, it was said by Mor Brei Ravina when he was Messiah his tefillah. This you can see in the Gemara. His name appeared on the fifth of the wide lines of the first, we'll say the fifth of the lines after the narrow lines of Gemara. What was the significance of saying that my soul should be like dust unto all? Ma offer eno mekabel klir le'olam, just like offer dirt remains, it's not something that you can destroy. Dirt remains dirt all the time, forever. So too, it should be your desire that my seed, that my offspring, should never be obliterated, should remain forever. Omer, just like the pasuk says, just like the Almighty blessed the Avraham Avinu and said that your seed shall be like the dirt of the land, something that will remain forever. The next Tosfos, Ani Bria V'Chaveri Bria. This we saw under the name of the Rabbanan D'Yavna, and the Margalah B'Pumayo. This was on the last line before the Gemara becomes extremely wide. So the Rabbanan of Yavna mentioned that we pursue Torah, and the Amoratsim, the ignoramuses, they pursue their work. So Tosfos explains, Kloma Yesh Loi Lev Kamoni. When the Rabbon of Yavna were paralleling themselves to the Amoratsim, they were saying, well, we both have the heart or the wisdom, sufficient wisdom, lahavchin ben toiv l'ra, to make a distinction between good and evil. And of course, the expectation is to pursue the good. And there are those that make decisions otherwise. So everyone starts at the same beginning point, at the same starting line. The question in life is which path does one pursue? The next tesis, ha'oisu shalo lishma noyach loy shalo nivra. This was part of a statement concerning the pursuit of Torah for Torah learning's sake, and it was said in the Gemara that those who pursue Torah shalo lishma, this was under the Margul Vapume de Rava. He had said that those who pursue Torah shalo lishma, it would have been better that they weren't created in the first place. So Tosfos raises the question, and of course we had made reference to this during our Gemara Shir as well. V'im toimar, ha'omar of Yudah Marav, perk mokam shenogu, was it not said by Yudah Marav in Psochim, lolum yasek godem b'torah v'mitzvah filu shaloi lishma, that one should pursue Torah and mitzvahs even if it's not for the purest intention, shemitoch shalo lishma b'olishma, that through the pursuit of Torah mitzvahs, even if it's without the lofty lofty goals in mind, nevertheless, he will come to that loftiness. So, and yet in our Gemara, it says that one who pursues Torah shalo lishma, it's better he wasn't created. How do you resolve that with a statement that says that one ought to pursue it shalo lishma, because it will lead to the better ways? The yesh lomar, the answer is, the hocha mayru she'enu lomed elekate chaverov. Here, we're describing a person that his whole engagement with Torah is only to become familiar with Torah teachings in order to argue with his friends, to argue against those, most likely against those that are pursuing Torah. In other words, to discover points of difficulty or questions in order to challenge others, but with no intention of observing things themselves, observing Torah and mitzvahs themselves. The Hasa Mairi, the Gemara in Psochim, is speaking, Shaloimin Almanas Shechabdu. He's learning Torah, and he'll pursue Torah, he'll practice Torah, he'll grow in Torah, but his intention happens to be that will be his source of honor, that he will gain honor through that. But he's not doing it in order to repel or to rebuff those that are living Torah. We continue on Omid Beis, places at the top. The Gemara at this point had been analyzing the pasuk of Alufenu Misubalim, which was a pasuk in Tehillim, Perek Kuf Mem Dalid, and it said Ein Peretz, and the Gemara said that Peretz Ze Achitofel Sheparatz Pirsa B'Malchus based of Achitofel had caused a breach in the kingdom of David. Yotzes, this was the next word in the pasuk, Ze Doyeg Shiyotzu L'Tar B'Sro, who went astray, went off the Torah path, can refer to Bechelik Gabi Vai Shiyotzezeh, where the Gemara analyzes the name Doeg and says that it's made of reminiscent of a comet or a screen. Vai, woe unto him that has left the path. Tzvocha ze Gehazi, again one of the words of the pasuk. Tzvocha is a reference to Gehazi. Shaya Mitzora, Tzvocha means one who screams out. That's a reference to Gehazi, who he too was a Rasha. Uksiv Bey, regarding Gehazi was a Mitzora, it says regarding Mitzora, Tome Yikra, Vahainu Tzvocha, that he calls out that he is Tome. This is a form of screaming. So that these last points in the pasuk became part of a prayer that our community, our generation should not experience those that went off, like was mentioned in the Gemara. The next Tosis Vehem is Zoyin Bezroa, and here Tosis makes a comment that has reference to piyutim, different poetic passages that are said during different holidays. In this case, a reference to the Rosh Hashanah piyutim. So he says, "V'hem nizam b'zrael v'chein yesh lagia b'tkios." And there's a girs on the side that says, "B'zichroinus of yoim sheni shel Rosh Hashanah that hamaschil efchad." In the text in that particular poem, should read, "V'hem b'zroa odecha bo'u v'lo gar sinon odecha loy bo'u." This is an example of a Tosis dealing with a technicality in the text of that particular passage, that some communities, and certainly many years ago, had the custom of saying. Continuing in the Tosis, the next Tosis, Trei Zimni B'Shasa, we were describing Abire Lev, in the that we call the negative approach, that said Abire Lev was a reference to Rishoyim. And it mentioned that the B'nai Masa Mechasi, Ravashi said the people of Mechasi, Ravashi, by the way, was the rabbinic leader, was the Rav of Mechasi, and he said that the general community, the Gentile community of Mechasi, were Abire Lev, in so far as they saw Kovenat Torah twice a year. So Tosfos says, Avol Ba'atzeres, Atzeres is another word for Shavuos, the holiday of Shavuos. She'enu elo yoyim echad. It's a one-day holiday. It's true that in outside of Eretz Yisrael, the 2 days are observed, but from the Torah standpoint, it's a one-day holiday, as opposed to Pesach, which is a seven-day holiday, and Sukkot likewise is a multiple-day holiday. So lo hoyu kol kach misasven. With regard to Shavuos, there wasn't so much of a gathering, so that the Torah, the Gemara's reference to twice a year, it's a reference to the twice a year in anticipation of Pesach and Shavuos, as opposed to Pesach and Sukkot, as opposed to Shavuos, which was a one-day holiday, and there wasn't much gathering for that. V'shemo niso israchish lehu. Tosfos says that it could be that during those gatherings there was a miracle that happened, and in light of some miraculous event, you would expect people would want to join the ranks of the Jewish community, and yet no one from Mechasia ever did. For Isi b'sefer o'itim shechiber harav Rabbi Yehuda bar Barzilai, Sheshoma, and Tosfos says that I saw in a sefer, in a book, called Sefer Ha'itim, that was authored by Rabbi Yehuda bar Barzilai, Sheshoma, that he heard, Shoya Omud Shel Eish Yorid Min HaShemayim Aleihem, that a pillar of fire descended upon them. Bekala de Elo, Bekala de Adar. Kala is a reference to the public lectures of during the month before the respective holidays. The Kala of Elul is the month before Elul is the month before Tishrei, which has in it the holidays of Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot. And Kala de Adar, the public lectures in the month of Adar prior to Nisan, that has in it Pesach. So that here you have a record of someone, of an actual miraculous event taking place there, and as we said, no one ever was, that didn't arouse any of the general community to want to join the ranks. Hence they're described as Abire Lev. Rav Shisha, Brei Ravidi, Omar Li'olam, Loi Tachlifen. We saw at the end of the Perek, after a contradiction was raised between Rav Shimon Gamliel in our mission of verses, that which is taught in the context of Tisha B'Av, Rav Shisha said, "Don't switch around the sources." Pirush Rach, the Rabbeinu Chananel explains, "The halacha ke Rav Shisha, to who basra." In other words, we have a machlokis between Rav Yochanan and Rav Shisha in how to present the answer to the sugya. So he says we follow Rav Shisha because he was later. He was a later authority than Rabbi Yochanan, giving him a greater, we'll say, halachic weight in terms of not that he's a greater individual, but as far as psak is concerned, the later authority carries more weight in terms of practical halacha. So Rav Shisha did not switch around the shittas. And by not switching around the shittas, that means Reb Shimon ben Gamliel is telling us that a choson should not say the Kriyat Shema. V'alocha k'Reb Shimon Gamliel de'omar lo kol ha'roitzel litos Hashem yitol. And we know that we are to follow Reb Shimon Gamliel, who in this case said that not just anyone can say the Kriyat Shema. De'b'chol mokom sheshan Reb Shimon Gamliel b'mishnas ha'alocha k'mosa. Wherever Reb Shimon Gamliel appears in Mishnayos, we follow his opinion. Chutz, with the exception of three places that are referred to as Me'orev, Vitzidon, Varaya Achrono. Those are three particular teachings in Mishnayos that Reb Shimon Gamliel makes a point, and we don't follow him there. So that in light of this, we want to maintain Rav Shisha Braid Ravidi's approach, which left Rav Shimon Gamliel of our Mishnah as it is, with the conclusion that a choson is not to say Kriyat Shema. And the reasons we gave already were because of his inability to concentrate, and if he were to recite, he would be demonstrating haughtiness. V'chein posak Rabbeinu Chananel, and Rabbeinu Chananel thusly ruled, umihu onu shebeshum pam ein onu mechavnin heitev gam choson yesh likros. However, nowadays, that no one really ever achieves any high level of concentration, so even a choson says the Kriyat Shema like the Shitas HaRabbonan. The Adaraba, to the contrary, nire kiyuarim lo yikra, if a choson nowadays would not say Kriyat Shema, that would be a demonstration of haughtiness. Klomar, it would be as if he were proclaiming, ani mechavein b'chol shah, that in general I have kavona. And we just got saying that nowadays no one really has kavona. So from his refraining from Kriyat Shema recitation, he's in effect saying, well, today I can't concentrate, but on all other days I would be able to concentrate. Avol, lasos melocha b'tisha b'av, ein lasos melocha. But as far as the issue concerning doing work on Tisha B'Av, there we shall follow the original Reb Shimon ben Gamliel and not do melocha on Tisha B'Av. There, and under such circumstances, there's no chance of any haughtiness demonstration. We now continue with the Tosfosin that are relevant to the third perek. Mi shemesoi mutal lefonav. Rashi goris mi shemesoi Rashi has in his order of Prokim of Maseches Brochas, he has this perek, Misha Mesoi, Achar Tfilas HaShachar, after the perek entitled Tfilas HaShachar. The perek entitled Tfilas HaShachar in our version of things happens to be the fourth perek. But according to Rashi, what we have as the third perek would actually come after Tfilas HaShachar, so the numbers would be switched around. Aval Nira L'Ri Shehu Achar Hoya Kore. The Ri says that Misha Mesa means our perek, this what we call the third perek, shall follow what we call what's named the perek Hoya Kore, which is in effect the second perek. In other words, the Ri has the order of prokim like we have it. And why is that? The Iri Bisefe Mikriyashma Vekan Maschil Nami Miptor Kriyashma. The end of the second parak was dealing with the issues concerning recitation of Kriyashma, and this parak begins also with the issue of an exemption from Kriyashma. The Yushalmi Goris Kamokain, and the Yushalmi version has it likewise this way. Potter Mikriyashma. So we mentioned in our Mishnah that a person who is obligated to tend to the deceased and worry about his burial is exempt from Kriyat Shema. But Yerushalmi Meforesh Taima, the Yerushalmi offers an explanation for this exemption. Amar Rabbi Bun, Ksiv Leman Tizkor V'chulei Ad Kol Yemei Chayecha. So the Pasuk mentions that you shall remember the Almighty all your days. And we darshan from here, Yomim Shata Oisek Bechayim. It says, we say Leman Tizkor, and Kol Yemei Chayecha means Yomim Shata Oisek Bechayim, Velo Yomim Shata Oisek Bemesim, the days that you're involved with the living, and not days when you're involved with the dead. So hence, there is no obligation on those kind of days. We're involved with the Mason. Hochi Gar Sinan. Now, here's a section of the Tosfos that the Meforshim challenge the text that we have in front of us, but it says, Hochi Gar Sinan Potter Mikriyashma. The next two words are questionable. In fact, in the Sefer Meloi Horoyim, he says to delete these two words, Umin Hatfila and Umin Hatfilin. So that according to the Meloi Horoyim's approach to this Tosfos, the Girsa is Potter Mikriyashma Umin Hatfilin, and that's the Girsa that the Bach had suggested, and we mentioned that as we were reading the Mishnah. So that the opening of the Mishnah is telling us about an exemption from Kriyat Shema and Tefillin. It's not mentioning the exemption from Tefillin, even though it's quite obvious that there's an exemption from it, but that's not mentioned explicitly in the text. But once again, this is we'll call it a touchy textual subject, and as we pointed out, there is different approaches to it. Hochi Goris Rashi. Rashi's Girsa, what we've done in this Tosfos by way of markings, we featured Rashi with a diamond, and then later there's Hasfarim, which is Girsas Hasfarim, which is a different Girsa, and I might as well say a smoother and easier Girsa is featured later in the Tosfos. We've also double underlined the text that Rashi has and the text that the Sfarim have. So Rashi's Girsa is Shela'achar Hamita. Afilu hamita tzricha lohem chayovin. In our Mishnah, we had the es shel achar mita tzorech bohem, and Rashi added, even if there's a tzorech bohem chayovin. Lefi shel oilom lo hoyu regilim loseis. Means those that are achar mita, they've already carried. So once the mita has gone by them, in other words, they've carried the mita a certain amount of distance and then passed it on to those. To others, so they're now behind the mita. So they've already carried, so they're not expected. It's not common for them. It's not a regular phenomenon for them to continue any carrying anymore. The loshon, the language, the text is a bit difficult. Leforesh. My ko'omar afilu tzricha lahem. That the text that Rashi has is as we mentioned, Esha Achar Mita Afilu Hamita Tzorch Lehem. That's it's a cumbersome expression. V'halo lo hoyu noisim klal es hamita. Why do you say that those that are behind the bed that are sorach bohem, that are needed for carrying, when those that are behind the bed, behind the coffin, were no longer going to carry it anymore? So why does Rashi say that afilu tzricho lehem? L'kach nira kegirsas hasforim. Therefore, an alternative girsa, which is found in other works, seems more likely, and it reads as follows: Shelifnei hamita, v'shelachar hamita, es shamita tzrichlem pturin. Those that are still needed, those that are needed for carrying, are exempt. Ein tzrichlem chayovim. Those that are not needed are obligated to say the Kriya Shema. In other words, we're not this approach doesn't lock in the lifnei and the liachar to the tzricha and neinu tzricha. It just mentions in general there are those that are in front of the mita and those that are in behind the mita, and the exemption and obligation simply depends: are you necessary or not? The next toisus, elu v'elu pturim min atfila. Even those that are behind the mita, the Mishnah said, those that are in front of the mita certainly, and even those that are behind the mita are exempt from Shmoyne Esrei. Avol, Rashi, the Tosfos says, Avol b'kriyashma u'b'tfilin shemid doraisa, but regarding these mitzvahs of kriyashma and wearing of tfilin that are Torah-based, chayovim, those that are after the mita, those that have already carried the mace, are obligated in kriyashma and tfilin. For Reisha de Komar Misha Mesoi Mutal Lefonov, the Potter Min Kriyashma Uminat Filin Vechulei, and the Reisha that said that if one has a corpse in front of him and he's exempt from Kriyashma and from Tfilin, Kol Shekein the Potter Minat Fila, and all the more so he's exempt from Tfila. Ela Lo Boy Lemisni Bereisha, the point of the Reisha, the purpose of the Reisha, was Elo Hachiluk Shebein Noisei Hamita Lemesoi Mutal Lefonov. The Mishnah wanted to contrast the case of Mesoi Mutal Lefonov that are always exempt versus the carriers of the coffin, though that there are those that are Chayev, like those that are behind the Mita. So that he was obligated to, let's say, overseeing the burial. He's in charge. That's the Meso Mutal Lefonov situation. He is exempt. He's completely exempt. Regarding the carriers of the coffin, there a distinction is made. So that's the structure of the mission and why it chose to mention the exemption in the ratio of Kriyashma and Tfilin, where we say that's an across-the-boards exemption because he's the one in charge. And regarding the Nosei Hamita, there, as far as Kriya Shema Tefillin are concerned, it depends if you're Lifnei or Lachar. It's not an across-the-boards exemption. The next Tosfos, and we should just point out that this next Tosfos starts here at the bottom of Yud Zayin Beis, but continues a ways down Yud Ches Omed Aleph. The Eino Mevorech. Pirush Rashi, regarding the person who has is in the context or the confines of a corpse. So the source had said he is not to make he is Eino Mevorech. Now Pirush Rashi, we've put a triangle around Pirush Rashi, and a few lines later, a triangle around Lekach Nira. These are two different approaches. Pirush Rashi, v'ein zokuk levorech, umashim mitok pirusho. It sounds from Rashi's explanation, shim rotsu levorech l'sho, that if he wants to make a brocha, the option exists. Mihu, b'yushalmi ko'amar im rotsu lahachmir, ein shomin lo. Yushalmi differs and says that if he wants to obligate himself to act stringently, this person who's in the confines of a mace and he wants to make a bracha, he is not allowed to. Ancient, we don't listen to his desires. We don't allow him to. In other words, according to Rashi, there is an option to make the bracha, and according to Yushalmi, there is no option. L'kach nira loymar. Therefore, Tosfos concludes, Eino Mevorach, the expression of the source that said Eino Mevorach, really means Eino Rashoy Levarach, he has no license, he is not entitled to make a bracha, like the Yerushalmi. Umeforish Yerushalmi Lama, and the Yerushalmi explains why this is, and the Yerushalmi gives two explanations. Bekomar, one, Mipnei Kvoide Shomeis, the exemption is because of the honor of the mace. As far as honor of the mace is concerned, that is something that one might have to give some thought to. It could be because of lo eg l'rosh cherev el sehu, because you are making a brocha, and that's something that the mace cannot do. Inami, another explanation of why one is not to make the brocha, is mipnei she'ein lo mi she'isa maso, because there is no one to carry his burden, which would seem like it's a function of, since he is preoccupied with tending to the mace, so his full concentration and preoccupation must be focused on that, since there is no one else that is going to do it. So that he's actively involved with dealing with the burial of the mace, which would sound a lot like the general, the exemption of Potter Mina Mitzvah or Torud Bidvar Mitzvah, as we've seen regarding the case of the Chosan. Uporech. Now, in our continuation of Tosis, we've employed the following marking system, where a volcano shape will appear, the trapezoid, with a sometimes narrow facing up, and sometimes flipped over, as to highlight the give and take style, with the narrow part facing up, a question, narrow facing down, that will represent a response. So uporech, and it's in the Yerushalmi, the question is raised, v'hatanya poter minetilas love, that a misha mesa mutalufonov is exempt from lulav, v'kasaka b'aytoch demayr v'yom tov. Sounds like that we're talking about Yom Tov. Take the lulav on the Yom Tov Sukkis. On the day, the first day of Sukkis, you take a lulav. Uvo eno Torah liso maso. And that explanation doesn't apply. You don't bury the dead on Yom Tov itself. So that you see there is an exemption even without that explanation. So this is a challenge to the Hesber that Yerushalmi gave for the Eino Mevorech. And it's pointed out that it's a challenge specifically to that particular answer. The Kvodo Shomeis is not, that answer isn't being challenged. Umeshani. In order to preserve that second answer of the Yerushalmi, the Yerushalmi answers, Tiftar, explain this source that said, Potter Minatilas Lulav, explain it, Bechoyol. Pirush Bechoyol Shomoyed. That's, it's Cholamoyed. You also take the Lulav on Cholamoyed. So, Misha Mesa Mutal Lefonov, if he's on Cholamoyed, so he does not take the Lulav, because he is preoccupied with the burial of the mace. V'ha Tanya, we continue at the top of Yud Chesam Aleph. You'll notice the marking indicates a question is now raised. V'ha Tanya, Potter Mitkias Shofar. In addition to Potter Mitkias Milulav, it also says that Misha Mason Lutu Lefonov is Potter from Tkias Shofar. Now, Ishloch Lememar B'chol, can you say regarding shofar blowing that you're talking about a weekday? V'chol V'lo B'yom Tov, B'tmiha? No, it's shofar is Rosh Hashanah is a one, call it a 1 day or 2 day holiday. There's no cholamoyed involved there. And so, what do we see here? We see an exemption, even though there is no what was the lashon there? We saw she'ein lo mishi yisamaso. It's not an issue of being preoccupied with burying the dead. So that the exemption is not like that second answer of the Yerushalmi. Umeshani, we answer. Omar Rav Chanina, mikivan shu zokuk lahochin la'orun v'tachrichin. Since, true, it is Rosh Hashanah, and there is no Chol HaMoed involved here. But since we're talking about the person in charge of the burial, he has to eventually prepare the coffin and the shrouds. Kidisnan, the Mishnah in Shabbos says that even though Shabbos is a day that you're not allowed to do things on Shabbos in preparation of after Shabbos, but yet it says machshichin al atchum lahavi loy aron v'tachrichin, that one can go to the edge of the tchum Shabbos in anticipation of right after Shabbos going beyond that distance. A tchum is an area, a restriction. You can't go beyond 2,000 amas from a particular community on Shabbos. However, you can go to the very edge of that distance. That's called machshichin, in anticipation of right after Shabbos going to do what? To tend to the aron, the coffin, and the tachrichin, the shrouds. So since we're dealing on Rosh Hashanah day, but we're dealing with someone who has the obligation to deal with the aron and tachrichin, so kemo shehu noisei maso domi, he is like someone who is involved with the actual burial. Almo mashma de shabbosos yomim tovim. It would come out then from this discussion that even on Shabbos and Yontif, someone who is misha mesa mutal lefonav eino rashoi levorech ulispalel de torod lahachshich loy alat chum lahavi oron v'tachrichen, because he is preoccupied with going to the edge of the tchum. He's preoccupied with burial matters, even if it's on Shabbos or Yontif. So that, now we notice we've put a diamond around mashma because we want to contrast this with what we're going to see now as the next question. So up to this point, based on dealing with the Yerushalmi, who said in his second explanation for the tour of Eino Mevorech, what was the second explanation the Yerushalmi gave? Was Mipnei She'ein Lo Mishi Yisumah. So we're talking about someone who has no replacement. He is the one who is obligated to tend to the burial. And as a result of that, there is an exemption. It's an Eino Mevorech, we said. And he's Lo Yitolulav, and he's Lo Tokeh B'Shoifar. All of these things which apply to Shabbos and Yom Tov as well, we see exemption. Therefore, we conclude at this point that there is an exemption from making, even from Brochus on Shabbos on Yom Tov, regarding someone who is Nosei Maso, or is the one obligated to tend to the burial. Now the question, the kashya miseifa. We raise a question from the seifa of this very source, the source that was featured in our Gemara, the source that had the expression Eino Mevorech in it. What does it say in this very source that we saw in the Gemara? In fact, the third line from the top of this omid, it said, B'Shabbos Mevorechin Olav U'Mezamen Olav. On Shabbos, you do this person who's Misha Mesa Mutal Fonov does make brochas and does participate in the Birkas Hamazon. V'chein Tanya Nami B'Yushami Ba'med V'Mumurim. There's a brisa brought in Yushami that says, when is there exemption B'Choil? When it's during the weekday that he's actually physically tending to the burial. Avol B'Shabbos, when it's Shabbos, when at best there's maybe a mental preoccupation, but there isn't an actual physical involvement with the burial. It says Meisav V'Yoichel Dvorach V'Yoni Machar V'Omein, that it's that one reclines and eats and makes the brachas, and others answer and brachas with an omein. So at this point, the issue is a seeming contradiction between the Reisha and the Seifa, the way we understood the Reisha. In light of the Yerushalmi's explanation, was that he's considered Noisei Maso even on Shabbos and Yontif. Regarding the Seifa, it said explicitly that there is an obligation on Shabbos and Yontif. The Oimer Hori, notice we have an inverted trapezoid, this is an answer, and also Aleph, this is the first of two approaches. The Oimer Ri, the Pligi Adodi Reisha V'Seifa, B'Yerushalmi, as far as Yerushalmi is concerned, the Reisha and Seifa are at odds. They are arguing with one another. The Reisha saying that Eino Mevorech extends to Shabbos and Yontif as well because of Machshichin al Atchum, and the Seifa says explicitly that he's obligated on Shabbos and Yontif to Mevorech. V'Rebbe Nesanel Hoya Oimer the Efsher liYashvoi. Rabbi Nesanel says that we can resolve the Reisha and Seifa. Devadai im daitoi lahachshich al atchum. We're explaining the Reisha right now, that if a person's intent is in fact to go to the edge of the tchum to get the aron and the tachrichim, oz yesh lanu lomar the torah lahachshich, then we can say that he's preoccupied with going to the edge. The eino rashoi levorech, and he is not allowed to make a bracha. He has to be fully involved with all his mind and heart on dealing with the dead and its burial, and not anything else. Avo b'seifa, myri b'shein daitu lachshech al tchum. The seifa is speaking about someone who is not intending to be machshech al tchum. Umiu hai taimo lo shayich le taimo de mishum kvodo. This explanation of mashal tum and has no relevance to the explanation that the Yerushalmi gave for eino mevorach because of the issue of kvodo. As we mentioned, the kvodo shomeis, we had mentioned that might be a consideration of loig larosh. That when you're in the presence of the mace and you are making brachas, so and he cannot do it, so that would be considered a form of disrespect. Umin hayushalmi de mishani de poter minatilas lulav. From the Yerushalmi that explained the exemption of the Misha Mesa Mutulufono from taking lulav, the Mairi B'chol HaMoed, that the Yerushalmi had explained that was talking about Chol HaMoed, and we have a little arrow to the side of the Tosis indicating Yud Zayin Mabez. If you go back to Yud Zayin Mabez, you'll see a corresponding arrow. It's where he mentioned this earlier. That there it was mentioned that there's that it's talking about Chol HaMoed, the Torud Lisomaso. Lo matnu, we learn from this shebechol hamoyed shayich aninus kishemeso mutolofonov. The concept of aninus, which is relevant to situation of a death and the period of time before its burial. So we learn that on chol hamoyed, which is a time, by the way, that we do not observe. Mourning, or what's known as what people commonly call Shiva or Dine Avelus. That's the standard Dine Avelus, which set in after the burial. Nevertheless, the dinim that apply before the burial are in force during Chol HaMoed. That's what comes out from the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi that said that the person is exempt from taking lulav is talking about Chol HaMoed, when it's a time that he can be actually involved with the burial. So we learn that Chol HaMoed is a time that the laws of aninus are binding. That's kishemesa mutalafonov, when you are dealing with someone who is the one obligated to burial, to bury that particular deceased. The kevon de kishemuta lafonov shayach aninus. And since when you have a situation of muta lefonov, the body is there in front of you, or you are obligated to bury it, ki mutal olav lekovro, ki mutal lefonov domi. The literal expression was mesa muta lefonov, the body is lying in front of you. So we say that the dinim of aninus are shayach. This extends not only to the case of the body actually lying in front of you, but as we were explaining till now, it's upon you to see to its burial. So that even if it's not in front of you, but it's upon you to see to its burial, it's as if it's lying in front of you. V'chein ipcha, and likewise, the opposite is true. Misha meso muta lefonov v'eino lov lekovro. You can have a situation of someone that is in the presence of a body, but he is not the one that is obligated to take care of the burial. Eino noheg aninus. Then the rules of aninus will not apply. V'chein mashbi Yerushalmi. Likewise, it appears that way in the Yerushalmi, where it says nimsa l'rabim. If a person, let us say, experienced the loss of a relative, and that was then the body was then given over to the public, meaning that the public authorities will see to its burial. Well, oichel baser v'sheisi yayin. He is allowed to eat meat and drink wine, which is something that an onain is not allowed to do. But if the body was given to the rabbim to bury, he is allowed. So showing you that that the laws of aninus don't any longer apply. Nimsalik sefayim, nims kaninsal rabbim sefayim are literally the shoulders. Those are people like we call the pallbearers, those that would carry the coffin. So if the body was given over to them, it's like given over to the public. The Al-Korchach Nimser L'Rabim Ritzoynu Lomar Afilu L'Fonav. And we have to say that when we speak about being given over to the public, we're talking about a case, even if the body is physically in front of you, but the obligation to tend to it is no longer upon you. So that we're saying that even though it's in front of you, you are no the person is no longer obligated in or restricted by the laws of aninus. Or we can mention that also the exemptions that are afforded to the onen are no longer in place. In short, rules of aninus do not apply, because the main factor is, are you tending to it or not? So if you're not tending to it, even if the body is in front of you, you are no longer considered an onen. The e shaloi lefonav, if we were talking about a case only that only if the body is not in front, then why do you then tapuk lay, then learn out that the exemption of wine of or the heter of eating meat and drinking wine is tapuk lay shemiyad chal olav avelus mishiyotzo mipesach beso, that once a corpse is taken out of the house, and you're not going to the cemetery, the laws of avelus kick in right there, so that the kevan delo chal ole aninus. And since we're saying right now that the laws of aninus are not upon that individual, im kein odom she'eno yochol likbor meso, someone who cannot bury his dead, kagon odom shemes beis asurim, vein hamoishel manicho likovro, a person whose relative, let's say, died while incarcerated, and the moshel, the ruler, the governor, the legal authority is not allowing you to bury the deceased who died while incarcerated. Nire she'ein chayav linug bo aninus, so that the relative, the living relative, the surviving relative, is not obligated in the rules of aninus, and he won't be forbidden in drinking wine or eating meat. Share ein ze mutal olav lekovro. This is a case where it's not upon him, the surviving relative who's out in freedom, it's not upon him to bury. He can't pay a ransom and extricate the corpse from the jail. So he just simply is unable to engage in the burial. Kedesayim Masechus Smochus, as it's taught in that particular Masechta, which is a collection of brises dealing with Avelis, it says there, Nisyashu Bailov Milikovro Misablin Olov. If the owners of the body, but the relatives or those that are connected to the body are unable, they've given up hope from burying their particular deceased. So misablin olav uposik minei toras aninus, they now start avelus, and the rules of aninus do not apply. Mihu, however, ba'oisa shetofsoi moishel gam avelus eno chayov. In the case of the moshel, the case of the incarcerated individual who died while incarcerated, there even the rules of avelus do not apply. The lo domi l'nisyashim likovro. It's different than the case of where people gave up hope on burying. Sheshuv eno kovro. That in that case of nisyashim likovro, they're not going to bury him at all. Aval hocha, in the case of Tofsoi Moishel, Adayin hu metzape im yuchal lasos psharim ha-moishel, there's this hope in the back of their minds that maybe they can come to terms, come to some type of compromise with the governor, lahanichoi lekovro, to allow them to, in fact, bury their relative, or their deceased. And in such a case where there is the hope of burial, then we say that the rules of avelus will kick in after the burial. So that in a situation where there's no possible burial, as the case of Nisyashu Balav Mikovro from the Masechus Smochus, so since there's no burial on deck or in waiting, therefore avelus sets in. However, where there is a faint hope of engaging in burial, so we say the rules of avelus will hold off till that point. The chain ma'isa the Reb Elazar bar Reb Shimon bar Rebbe Metzia the posak mitzvah aninus, And similarly was the case involving the demise of Reb Elazar ben Shimon, featured in Bava Metzia, where the rules of Aninus no longer apply. Umaisa Shemesa, and now Tosis relates an incident. Shemesa Chosus Rabbeinu Tam b'Shabbos, the sister of Rabbeinu Tam passed away on a Shabbos. V'hodiu lo b'motzoi Shabbos biracheres, and they informed him of her passing while he was in another community. V'ochal boser v'shosayayin, and he went ahead and ate meat and drank wine, obviously indicating that he is not an onein, even though he was just informed of her death. The Omar, and he explained, Kivan Shiyesh lo Baal Shechayav Bikvurasa, since she has a husband who is obligated to see to her burial, he is a, then Rabbeinu Tam was a brother, the husband is obligated in burying the wife, Eino Asur b'Basar B'Yayin, he, Rabbeinu Tam, is not forbidden or restricted from Basar B'Yayin as an Onein. V'efshir Shigam Im Hoya Rabbeinu Tam B'Yir Atzmo Hoya Mekel Me'oysa Tam. Could very well be that as far as the fact that Rabbeinu Tam was in another community, that's only what actually happened. But even if he was in the same community where his sister had been located, he still would have been able to exercise this leniency of eating the meat and drinking the wine for this very reason, that he wasn't the one obligated to see to her burial, and hence he is not categorized as an Onei. This concludes today's shiur on the Tosfos.